Many attacks have been made against abstract thought. Some philosophers have said it turns the vibrant, colorful, living things of nature into sterile concepts that fail to capture the warmth and feeling of direct experience. But according to Hegel, these are really attacks on understanding, which breaks things apart. They don't count as charges against reason, which aims to preserve both the concrete reality of things and all the abstractions needed to analyze, to know them. Hegel defends reason. He insists that reason must not be confused with understanding.
It is by referring to this opposition of understanding to sensation of feeling that we must explain the frequent attacks made upon thought for being hard and narrow, and for leading, if consistently developed, to ruinous and pernicious results. The answer to these charges, insofar as they are warranted by their facts, is that they do not touch thinking in general, certainly not the thinking of reason, but only the exercise of understanding.
Although Hegel regards understanding as limited, he's also aware that it performs a valuable service.
It must be added, however, that the merit and rights of the mere understanding should unhesitatingly be admitted. And that merit lies in the fact that apart from understanding, there is no fixity or accuracy in the region either of theory or practice.
Hegel goes on to explain his view of how knowledge begins and how it advances.
Thus, in theory, knowledge begins by apprehending existing objects in their specific differences. In the study of nature, for example, we distinguish matters, forces, genera, and the like, and stereotype each in its isolation. Thought is here acting in its analytic capacity, where its canon is identity, a simple reference of each attribute to itself. It is under the guidance of the same identity that the process in knowledge is affected from one scientific truth to another. Thus, for example, in mathematics, magnitude is the feature which, to the neglect of any other, determines our advance. Hence, in geometry, we compare one figure with another so as to bring out their identity. Similarly, in other fields of knowledge, such as jurisprudence, the advance is primarily regulated by identity. In it, we argue from one specific law or precedent to another. And what is this but to proceed on the principle of identity?
Indeed, Aristotle himself had set out the beginnings of philosophical knowledge by distinguishing and comparing things. But Hegel says that our distinguishing faculty, the understanding, is unstable. With this in mind, we can clearly see the need for the force of reason, the need to reunite what has been distinguished. Understanding tells us that an apple and an orange are quite different from one another. But if we focus on the difference alone, we'll miss the ways in which they're the same, being round, colored, and edible. For Hegel, the full truth embraces both sameness and difference. But he believes that the understanding is unable to grasp the full truth. Hegel says that understanding draws such hard and fast distinctions between opposites that it can't reconcile them. So understanding makes a contribution by distinguishing between things, but it ends in contradictions. Hegel calls this a negative dialectic. The opposites work against each other to produce a stalemate, rather than working against each other to produce a new, better, and higher reality. Hegel says we must seriously evaluate the fall of understanding into negative dialectic if we're to advance the dialectic in its positive form. As we've seen, this positive dialectic is reason, the organic and constructive form of all philosophical thinking. Understanding can't make this advance. It sees dialectic only as a dead end, not as an essential phase in the development of positive reason.
To see that thought in its very nature is dialectical, and that as understanding it must fall into contradictions, the negative of itself, will form one of the lessons of logic, that understanding becomes hopeless of ever achieving by its own means the solution of the contradiction, it turns back to those solutions of the questions with which the mind has learned to pacify itself.
No idea is more important in Hegel's thought than the concept of dialectic. But we can't even begin to understand this until we get rid of the familiar, inaccurate formula known as thesis, antithesis, synthesis. This supposedly Hegelian formula comes from textbooks and popular accounts of Hegel's philosophy. Hegel himself didn't use it. As we'll see, such a neat schema suggests an automatic mechanism that's far from the dynamic, organic development that Hegel calls dialectic.
Wherever there is movement, wherever there is life, wherever anything is carried into effect in the actual world, there dialectic is at work.